I'm Hugo Disler from Farming Secrets. We run a business here in Australia and worldwide with Helen and myself. And today we are really pleased to have Mark Nakata on the phone from California. So, Mark, we did have the pleasure of filming you in California. So could you give a bit of a rundown of who you are and what you're doing with farming?
Sure. My name is Mark Nakata. Born and raised here in Fresno, California. Graduated from Fresno State University. I have a degree in ag marketing, and I have a minor in soils and biology. And let's see. My family's been farming in the valley for over 100 years, so we've been around this area a long time. I grew up farming. Went off to college, and after college, I worked as a bird dog, and then as a broker for several years. I've owned my own company. I've worked for others. I've kind of done a little bit of everything. Regarding the marketing side, I've been a buyer. I was a buyer for a large Japanese company. I went traveled the world buying product, and I've sold product for growers. I still sell product for growers today. And I do nutritional consulting, and I work with Beyond Organics. So between farming, marketing, and consulting, I stay pretty busy. So that's pretty much what I'm, my background and kind of what I'm doing.
Fantastic. Mark, you've got a vision. You and Arden Anderson have got a vision, and you're certainly on a mission where you're working with farmers, even traders like the retailers, and you're also working with the health institutes. So, and one thing that seems to come up is nutrient density. It's something that in produce, it's something that here in Australia, it's hardly talked about. It's almost unknown, to conventional farmers, it's almost unknown. So, from what I've just said, would you like to expand on any of that?
Yeah, the age-old problem for farmers around the world is that they inherently are price takers. In other words, they accept whatever price the market bears for their particular product, and they do this with the full understanding that even though their return is not guaranteed, they have to spend the money in order to make a crop. So most farmers concentrate on making tons or units because that's how they get paid, is based on tons or units. The more tons or more units you produce, the more you get paid. The problem is that there's a large dichotomy between the way that is traditionally done and what is considered to be healthy food. Most growers have and most continue to try to make money by adding nitrogen to their crops, and to do so they apply it in one form or another and they produce a crop. The problem is that because nitrogen inhibits the pickup of most other nutrients, what happens is you have something that may or may not look good, but certainly doesn't taste good. And it doesn't taste good because it doesn't have nutrients in it. On the other hand, you have healthcare organizations that are trying to reduce costs. As they do so, they are encouraging people to eat better, to exercise, and all of those sorts of things. But the problem, of course, is that most people are, quote-unquote, too busy to do those things, okay? However, later in life, they don't seem to be too busy to try to take care of themselves and live longer. But that gets to be very expensive. And so you have a sort of a push-pull going on the healthcare side, where healthcare companies are trying to reduce costs and people are trying to stay alive. And that sort of tends to be at opposite ends of the spectrum. So that's what we see in Beyond Organics. And we see that they're the only bridge really available to most folks is to be able to eat better food so that they can stay healthier, so that they can lower their health care costs by going to a less expensive plan. And they're, of course, being encouraged to do so by the healthcare companies because they can, of course, reduce their costs also. So, you know, that's kind of where sort of this whole idea of nutrient density is being driven. In essence, what's happening is it needs to be driven by the demand side. In other words, farmers of their own free will are very loath to do this because they see it as something that is a higher cost and a lower benefit. In fact, that's not true, but that is what's being told to them by these multinational conglomerates that control the chemical industry. So most farmers believe this story and don't do the research for themselves. They believe the story, and so they continue to do what they've been doing. And they, you know, they'll tell you, it's, well, my granddad did it and my dad did it, so that's good enough for them. Well, that's good enough for me. Well, that's short-sighted thinking, but that's how most farmers think. From the demand side, though, is that if you're a healthcare provider or you're a healthcare physician, and I view physicians in the healthcare field as the farmers of health. In other words, what they do is they're the ones actually out in the field working with people. Farmers work with crops, doctors work with people. The similarity is that they're all in the field, and they're actually right there at the ground level doing the work. Most doctors, if you press them on it, will tell you that, yes, most people could be a lot healthier if they were to get some exercise and eat right. Well, when people feel good, they eat better and they exercise on their own. When they don't feel good, they kind of stay at home and stay inside and tend to do nothing. So the problem when they do that is their health care problems exacerbate as they get larger because they have this sedentary lifestyle. Whereas if somebody eats good food and they feel energy, then they're more likely to get out and do something, be more active. And by being more active, they stay in better health. So it's kind of a good cycle, bad cycle. When you get on a good cycle, things get better. When you get on a bad cycle, things get worse. That's simply the way it is. So actually what we found is that doctors and healthcare people actually have a better understanding of what we're trying to do at the farm level than most farmers do, because they see the benefit. They're working on the demand side and they see the benefit. Most farmers work on the supply side. They don't see the benefit. And most farmers cannot connect to the market in such a way that allows them to take advantage of the good things that they're doing in the field. So there's where you have the dichotomy in this whole situation. So what we do as a part of Beyond Organics is that, you know, we try to, on the one hand, try to get growers to do good things in the field, good things with the soil, good things with their cultural practices to produce a better crop, produce more units, produce more tons without increasing costs. The hard part about that story is that most farmers are working with depleted soil. They're working with soils that are not as good as they were in the past. And so from a very real standpoint, they need to put more inputs in. Well, the problem is how do you put more inputs in when you don't have enough money to spend anyways? So what we do is we explain it to farmers like this. Like if you have 10 pennies to spend, what we need to do is rearrange how you spend the 10 pennies. In other words, if we take some from pesticides and fungicides and we put them into nutrition, we can change some things. And by changing the environment, by changing the conditions, by changing the way or the cycle of the plant, how the plant respires and how fast it operates. What we can do is we can change the environment and encourage positive things and discourage negative things. And in short, by doing this, what we're able to do is rearrange dependencies with growers. Then what we do is we try to make sure that they find a way, or that we help them find a way to get to a better market. And this is being done in conjunction with trying to set some things up at the consumer and healthcare level to be able to create the market necessary to encourage a larger number of growers to convert. In other words, without a market to jump to, it's hard to justify to a grower the need to move in this direction. Without the supply available, it is hard to encourage retailers to spend the money necessary to create the market that we're saying that people will demand. So one problem is at the farm level, one problem is at the retail level, okay?
Yep.
The end user, however, wants the product. And we see this demonstrated all the time by the fact that people in the know will do things like drive to farmers markets, drive out to the country from the cities to buy what they consider to be better produce. Whether it be produce that is farm fresh or whatever it may be, they'll find a fruit stand or some sort of roadside stand or farmer's market that they like, and they'll shop there. I can't tell you how many doctors, physicians that I run into who shop this way. Most people don't ask their doctor, well, where do you shop for fruits and vegetables? You know what I mean? I think if they would ask this question, I think people would be surprised at where doctors actually shop. And it's kind of funny because when I talk to physicians, I talk to doctors groups about what we're doing, you know, invariably I get a tremendous response. But the question is always, well, Mark, where do I find this stuff? Where can I recommend my patient go? So that kind of shifts the focus back to the retail. So what we're trying to do, and this is a little bit difficult, what we're trying to do is we're trying to increase awareness at the farm level, increase the number of growers that are doing this nutrient type of farming. Secondly, what we're doing is we're talking to retailers about, you know, how to put together a produce department that will be reflective of what we're talking about so that we can go to the physicians groups and the healthcare groups and suggest to them that they recommend to their patients to shop there at this place. So to make a long story short, what we've done is, and we continue to do, is work on creating the standard by commodity for what we consider to be nutrient dense. And then as we develop standards for different things, and what we do is we test our products against the standard and see which products make it. What I need to do is I need to have enough qualified products together to be able to launch a department. Quite frankly, Hugo, this has been very difficult to do on the food and vegetable side because of natural resistance amongst growers. To be quite blunt about it, I've had much more success on the animal side than on the plant side. In other words, by working with farmers who raise animals, I actually am able to do a better job a little bit faster because you know the cycle of animals usually is less than a year. Okay, so
Mark, what animals are you talking about?
Well, chickens, turkeys, pigs, beef cattle, dairy cattle. We've been and we continue to work with those people more and more. I didn't mention it much while you guys were here because really the focus was on kind of things that we were looking at the time. But we continue to work on the animal side, and in fact, you know, during this calendar year, we've made more progress on the animal side than on the plant side. And that's kind of, you know, if you'd asked me in January if I thought that would happen, I would have told you no. But more recently, that's been the case. And because we see the cycle go faster, we see the benefits of having made the conversion on the animals much faster. And because the flavor of the meat that's produced is so much different and better than what else is out there in the market, it is something that that really makes a difference at the store level. In other words, if you look at most retail operations, okay, at least in the United States, most grocery companies make little or no money on their hardware, their canned goods and things like that. They make little or nothing. I mean, if they could break even on that, they're happy. Pay the light bill, they're ecstatic. Where they make their money is on pharmaceuticals, meat and dairy, and produce. Unfortunately, because somewhere between 50 and 70% of the produce is thrown out, most grocery stores have gone away from using produce as a driver. If you look at ads for most U.S. grocery companies, you will see a disproportionate amount of space tied to meat and dairy, wines and spirits, and drugs. It's because those are the most profitable parts of the store. So because they're the most profitable, they focus on them. Unfortunately, at least in this country, produce is sort of taking a back seat. It's not the way it was 20, 30 years ago, but it's definitely the way it is today. So what we found is that companies, generally speaking, are a little bit more willing to go in our direction on the meat products because of the flavor. We found that restaurants especially are interested and will pay the difference to have the better meat products, because quite frankly, that is the staple of what they serve. Most restaurants, unless they're vegetarian restaurants, the main course, the meat dish, is the sort of the focal point of the restaurant, okay? And most good chefs will tell you that the flavors that come to the meat naturally because of what and how that animal is fed is flavor that they cannot reproduce in an artificial way. No matter how many spices or how many different ways they cook the meat, they can't recreate that flavor.